first item is approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I move we approve the agenda. Written?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. This is a time for public comment. It is, you may address the commission in regarding any item, whether it is on the agenda or not, as long as it's related to port business. And so, do we have a sign-up sheet? There will also be public comment at the end of the meeting after following the presentation and all the action that is taken today. Mike Chesmore.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to address a couple of things. One of them is, I would like to first of all bring up, brought this up to the last three different sets of court commissioners, and one of them said, in the meeting, in the facility, outside of me, that she didn't hear what I said, she must not be there. I make it a point that when I bring these points up, that all three court commissioners are here and the court executive director. Oh, and so get rid of that trash that they put in the garbage and that composting trash. Please, what a waste, good resource. Leave trash clippings, tree clippings. The other thing is we have mooring balls on the east side of the ferry dock. If there's any boilers, brothers in here, you guys probably understand the term, lean shore. If not, that shore. If a big storm comes up, that's where your boat ends up, is on lean shore. The weather is the day when we're out here coming out of the south. The lean shore from those mooring balls is probably about 100 yards. Which means if the engineer decides to tie up there overnight for some privacy, if the wind comes up and the mooring ball fails, or your line you attach to the tail, even if on the beach, there's no recourse. It will happen. So I just need to suggest that you put those in a safe place instead of like out of the middle of the town, which essentially are almost out of where they're at. Put them into the cold where whoever ties up to them is protected.
Thank you. Philip.
Oh,
DeNova.
From the top of the hill on West Kingston, entering the school zone, down to the stop sign, that's a 25-mile-an-hour hill. A lot, I don't understand. Not a lot of traffic. When school time comes up, it is a 20-mile-an-hour zone in that window. But 25, I don't know if anybody's traveled that route. It seems to be an inconvenience to slow down to 25 right here. If not an inconvenience, then let's make all the rest of these 25 miles an hour. Thank you. I don't have anything.
Mr. DeNovo?
Yes, first of all, I guess I want to say a commended board for the employees that because I think that all of the employees that I have come in contact with have been truly fantastic, very efficient, very hardworking, and right now I think they're a little bit stressed. The one thing I've seen that's been fantastic. Some of the comments on really what I have are on how the board should save money and maybe not increase the fee as you were planning to do for the study on the issue. So this might not be the time to discuss some of those ideas that I have. So one particular item that I have, I just understood that the executive director, Jim, is leaving the board for other appointments. I would suggest to mention not to fill that position at least for maybe 3 months or so. You've got an excellent staff of people here, and I think that they should carry on without an executive director for 3 months. A lot of the ideas that Jim has proposed are already in place going forward. The staff that you have are certainly capable enough to continue those things. They're still a new director from some sort. You can save a considerable amount of money by not replacing that position right away. Again, I have other ideas about how the board will save money, but this might not be the time. So I'll let somebody else do it.
Thank you. Leona Bird, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that correctly. Okay, thank you. Ken Daglish.
Good morning. My question is coming to address agenda item 7A, and if it's covered there, fine. I would like to make sure we cover what problem are we solving, who's responsible for this, and the cost associated with it.
Could you explain what you mean by who's the sponsor?
Well, I would assume the commission has voted to go forward with the study, but I'd like to know if that was unanimous vote or there was a particular driver who is taking leadership of the way the commission is doing.
Thank you. Stephen Hill.
Your statement on the most important tool is for recreational and leisure, so not for commercial shopping. And then there's an agency.
Thank you. David Ladd.
Good morning. I'm going to address the question with you also. I am a frequent user of the board. I enjoy going down, working on my bullets, and many times I have a handful of stuff, a vegetable, and supplies. Whatever, I'm trying to be down there every day. And it's increasingly difficult to find a place to park. And I understand why this is a factor that I've been several times. And I think something has to be really done to this because with the very walk up there, it's going to get worse. And I do have a few ideas. There are little worries about parking. We've been designated specific parking for the little boys, and that opens up some of the cement parking. So that is one alternative to add to more cement parking, but it's designated to little boys' spots as little boys for their home. And also, think about something else, is a lot of people parking in the cement parking that are not down on their boat. They're using those for commuter parking. If there's any way to find out by somebody that other boys or somebody going around doing new parking where and how many days a week to establish that they might be in commuter parking to ask them are they in commuter parking. And if you are commuter parking, ask them to limit that to 1 day a week and then pay it like everyone else. Or I think if we establish that these people commit our new parking, maybe we have to add more commit parking for our transit people to line their own way to save the park. Because I've said to Jim, I go down there and there's no place to park, and I enjoy the fact that we can park and
on a number of items, but we're all full. And all of our jobs are full. I cannot do it in the facility, and that is so necessary. It's one of the great reasons that I can't do this on my own. But it seems like I, why would I need this? Why would I even want to have a full trip if I cannot do it on my own? So something has to be done. It cannot continue to do this, but it's going to be miserable to pay off part.
It's tricky.
It's tricky. And I'm a resident of the Pleasant Creek. I have a golden marina. I've been in the waste business for about 25 years. I don't know if you know about the limited credit in the city, a law about limited credit. As a member of the Banking Association, we sued for Seattle. It seemed to be really bad. I'm worried. They haven't had to do the credit anymore, but they do either after that to make sure they are at market. Otherwise, it becomes a lending credit. And you're interested in your study of one of those, and you've now got a number that you know that you should be charging. You're charging them less than this number, you're really lending credit. Because it's a whole class of people. So one person off the little board thinks that you're moving something extra for, then you can do the lending credit. You're not going to need anything extra for these more customers. So you cannot lower their rates. We're going to get some detail. So we need to file a lawsuit, and you know about lawsuits. Yeah, you either do the same at all, and you don't want to be mad because somebody did hit you over the lending credit, or when you do the ringer, you might have to come in with legal bills, and you ended up putting that hand. We need to go to market. There's less than like 100 people that are getting that live in the court district that are using the motorway. There's over 4,000 people in the court district. And they're paying then for these 100 people plus these other people to go live in the court district. We're paying. So I'm paying for people who live in the court district to have. I love paying my taxes for this building and the rent of this building. I would love to have that double, triple, or 10 times as far as I'm concerned because it's something that's completed me. Of course, unless they get out and do some projects, don't need that tax money that I'm paying. The city of the thing at cost, I think. You could look at continuing your good stuff in the community, and I think it has to be done by, let's say, more
information. There'll be opportunity after we've walked through the agenda and the presentation and so on and so forth for another round of comments and. Particularly with regard to the mortgage rate setting.
Yeah. Some people have charts and brochures and pie charts. Are those available or is there not info there? You see where the finance fee was when I came in the range of
selling. So we'll walk through the agenda and get to that important presentation about the mortgage rate study. The consent agenda, these are matters that are routine and we will be enacted by one motion of the committee with no separate discussion. Unless discussion is desired, and then the item can be removed from the consent agenda by a commissioner. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented?
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Next is the financial report. We have in our in our packets, our board packets, the financial report from Hearthstone CPA Group. Are there any questions for Juanita or Jim?
No, I
don't have any. And thank you for sending that material out for us to take a look at it. So that moves us to the action items. The first, and I'll give you mine, Bill. Do you have a new one?
I might want to note on the financial, because we show that dipping below $1 million of reserve, which is kind of my, oh my God. Be aware that we are billing both TIPSAC Transit and the state over $900,000 a month. So that will be brought back up, so don't panic.
Yeah, that's for the park project as well. Right, yeah.
Right. So the mortgage rate study, we're going to be seeing a PowerPoint presentation and discussion presented by Paul Sorensen of the S2 Associates, who are pretty much the premier people who do rate studies, mortgage studies throughout the Puget Sound region and beyond. So with that, maybe we have this whole thing.
Oh, yeah,
but
we were having
I wonder about the glare on the other I didn't say that.
Oh, I thought you
were just responding
to the mail.
I had the thought of it, you know. I'm not sure that we can just get them in. That's what it is. Not sure. The discussion is all about.
Oh, I'm glad that it took a while.
And I held it for me like this.
I know. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Can everybody see that pretty well? Would it be better if it were pulled over a little bit to the left?
Yeah.
Okay. I think we saw it, but we're able to start talking about how it's not. I'm not sure if I
saw that. Oh, okay. You said that before.
Yeah.
city.
Yeah. And then this one, the slideshow there.
You guys have printed copies up with you?
Yep.
Nancy, can you bring that over this way?
He is a partner in DST Associates and actually formulated much of this data. I might want to say that this isn't an action item here today. This is the start of the process. So we're not going to be adopting rate increases or anything. And to answer your question, Jim, it was a unanimous decision by all three commissioners to get the data for it. It doesn't mean the commissioners are going to adopt what's heard. It just means it's a decision for them to consider for next year. That's kind of what, we just want to set that bubble that we're just starting this discussion. There'll be other discussions coming this evening for people who can't make their meeting. Make sure that everybody has a chance. So, Brian, with that?
All right. Thank you. As I said, Brian Winningham, DFT Associates, not Paul Sorensen. The important data about a month ago to start with analysis. We're just getting underway before they're providing us with data, and we wanted to come here today and tell you what it is we're actually doing, what the different steps we're going through on, and what the purpose is. So, quick overview of what we're talking about. Let's just talk a little bit about DST Associates. The second item, we shifted into some of the scope of work, but the bottom of what our scope of work is, what the methodology is, and different ways of looking at more integrated. And what our next steps are. So first, DST Associates, Paul Thorson founded in 1986. We specialize in economic and market research. Most of our work is related to waterfront projects. One of our specialties is marinas, the demand forecasting, board rate analysis, capital cost evaluation, overhead costs. As you can see, we work for most of all the public leaders in Western Washington, a lot of them have worked for multiple different types of studies, both in Oregon, California, Alaska, and Chicago. That was first in 1988. So our scope of work, what we've been trying to do is to look at different methods of evaluating the board rate, current rate, and are they covering costs? Once we evaluate these different alternatives, we'll recommend the rate model to the commission and prepare a draft and final report. Our job is to set the rates, give the commission the information they need to understand are the rates covering costs, how much do they cost, how much do they cover, and what the recommended way of setting them. Are there three different ways we'll be looking at the rates? CPI increase, market-based rates, and then the cost of the cost of the model. And I'll talk about each of those different models here. CPI increases the easiest way. If we take the current rate and then increase them each year by the consumer price index, or CPI plus 1%, or something like that. The downside of using that method is, or the caveat is, you have to make sure that your rates are appropriate to begin with. Make sure that you're covering your cost. If not, then you're falling farther and farther behind. A lot of times today, they are too low, especially in the capital project, because capital costs increase faster than the CPI. As I show here, for the last 5 years, CPI is pretty low, growing at 1.4%. So we'll compare that to what the forecast actual numbers are. So the second method is looking at market rates, and that's where you look at who are the other breeders in the market, what they charge, and how does your rate compare. This assumes that everybody else is charging appropriate rates and covering their costs. And then you then make the decision based on where, what the policy is, how do you want to fit into the market? Do you want to be the leader on rates? Do you want to be the top quartile or in the average? I want you to be careful with your business. Make sure that the rates that you're including include all the charges, because a lot of times you get a rate fee from a marina. X dollars per foot for a linear foot, and then there's the environmental charge, the parking charge. So we try to include all of those into the rate per foot being. I'll talk more about this in a few slides later here. And then the third method is the cost recovery, the cost of life from model. In this case, we try to look at what are all the costs involved in the marina, and then figure out how does that translate to a square foot or a linear foot basis. The advantage of doing the cost recovery model is you're not just looking at the operation and maintenance costs, you're also looking at over the long term what are the capital costs. And at some point, the marina has to replace or move the extensive repairs. So here, this is based on square footage. Let's take into account how much area public actually use. And under square foot regulations, rates are progressive between the longer the boat, higher the rate for linear foot. And I'll go into more detail on that here also. So on the market analysis, the first thing you have to do is define what is the market that the marina competes in. And if you see from this, from the existing customers, 251 customers, 80% are from, 82% are from Kitsap County. 41% of those are in the 4th District, 40% are elsewhere in Kitsap County, and the other 82% are from other counties. You can also note that on the Kingston numbers, that includes post office boxes, which is about a third of the addresses, so they may not actually be residents of the district. So. And then the text box here at the bottom, which is where perspective, I wanted to show that 106 out of 261 short customers are residents of the district. And that's what the estimate is, 4,693 active registered voters. Wayfair is similar, although the percentage for the 4th Kingston is actually smaller. You got a fair number of people in Kingston, Sullivan County on the way, but looking for more. Again, so 57 out of the current customers, 57 of the 193 waitlist names are from Kingston, 34% are from Kitsap County, and then the other third from either out of county or out of state. So this graph, I did smaller, and you probably not be able to read it, but this is showing the data we collected in 2014 for Port of San Angelo, and compares the rates and quite a few different marinas in the area, including one in Kitsap County, San Francisco, and also Canyon, Sonoma, and some others. As you can see from this, 4 years ago, Kingston was at one of the lowest rates. We'll be updating these numbers and see where it appears now. One of the things we'll work with Jim and the other four staff have been defining which marinas we include in the market. Market area for the comparison. So you chose the blue one here, which we looked at in Kitsap County and Jefferson. But that was one of the things we said. This is for 30 foot open split, similar graph for a 50 foot open split. So again, these are from 2014, so we're definitely easy. That was the market approach. On the cost replacement approach, the first step is to figure out what is the total cost to operate a marina. That includes three things: the operating expenses, which is the direct operating and operating maintenance costs, how much the port's general overhead is allocated to the port. And if you raise it for 2019, you would set that up to next year based on recent trends and growth rates of those costs. The second thing we need is the cost replacement value. What is the value of the asset now, and what is the annualized cost of replacing that? Again, we assess that to take on the construction cost, and then assess that for 2019. The final need is contingency reserve. So we use the base on a percent of the value of the asset. the finding that monthly rate is calculated, take the total cost divided by total square feet of board space, divide that by 12, and get the dollars per square foot a month, and then convert that into a linear foot rate. So we generally recommend, if you're going to want to, we recommend that you save this in over a number of years to allow time for adjustment. Reason for the square foot rate, so I just note that historically most graders use linear foot rate. Everybody pays the same rate for the square foot. That's really been shifting over the past decade or two. Overall reason for this is a marina is essentially a real estate deal. It's one of the few real estate deals where you're not paying for the square footage you use. What happens is smaller boats pay more for square foot than longer boats. If you use the square foot rate, linear rate increases as the boat length increases. Demand for longer splits is stronger than for shorter splits, so the market may bear a higher rate for the longer splits. And smaller boats, a lot of times the smaller splits have vacancies. There's a couple ways to tell you what happens today. The graph on the left is something probably the best showing the relationship between leaves and beans, and the as is obvious, I guess, as the leaves and boat increases, the bean increases, and so the square footage increases. There's just also note that it's not just the square footage within the split that a longer boat takes, it's also fairly easy wider to accommodate the longer boat, so that the demand on the take up 13 acres within the breakwater, a total area. The goal here is to figure out how much of each size of boat require of that acre that you have available. The way that translates into rates at the point of change, so this is the current rate, you can see that the fifth column over shows the square footage for each type of trail, we've got the range and the width. What the rate is for linear foot, and what that translates into in a square foot basis. There's also a graph out on the right, and you can see that on a square foot basis, 60 foot boats pay about a quarter of the rate that 24 foot boats do. The 24 foot open split takes about 260 square feet, the 60 foot open split is 1110 square feet. So, this is actually pretty fast as I last one, the next step. So, we, as I said, we're on the way now. We're collecting, the course has provided us quite a bit of data. We are updating the market rate now, collecting data from other areas. Once we have all that, we'll analyze the cost and develop the model. Our goal is to, 3 to 4 months to have this in place for budgeting, early October, so we're going to have 6 weeks and put on the graph. Graph report. It's a pretty fast overview. Happy to take questions.
There's a couple of things that are, like, I'm sure they're not unique to the board in terms of whether they're different about the board communities. Income that comes in from the state for the ferry, and income that comes in from the past ferry, and usually it's just part of it. Are those taken into account in here somehow?
They're not part of this model. That's more of a thing for the business policy. We are not looking to know what is the actual cost of the marina itself.
Okay.
You if you were to cover all the cost of the marina, the marina rate, what would it be?
Great.
But for the community to take
credit for that, you do now.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, William Westmark. I've been a resident for a couple of years and I'm on the way.
So, and those, as you mentioned, it seems difficult to make a comparison of marinas and be outside of the context of the community that is now for them. And so, I'm sure that that's part of the factor in determining what are the market marinas that you're going to consider in the rate comparison. But usually, there's a decision taken to find what those attributes are, and then the comparable arena is comparative between Yeah, I think that the vision criteria in that place is that part of what will be developed?
Yeah, I've worked with the more staff to decide which ratings are appropriate to include. So that's always the question. So how far do you look? Do you include Schuylkill and Kelly Bay? Or do you say to Kitsap County, Jefferson County, and so on?
So that'll be shared in one of the public meetings that the city president will
be? Yes.
Okay.
I'm Brian Anderson, wondering how far, in your experience, how far is the reason that you're sitting a voter with to another arena? Have you guys ever looked at that?
Well, as you see, you're not out of state. It depends on what people are doing. You know, like you've got the California and Arizona customers. For those people who are commuting to the vote of it, people who have a place in, you know, out of state and spend part of the year there and part here. We got quite a few days from Edmonton and Cape County one too. That could be the same place. Somebody's got a second home over here. Or it could be if you live downtown Edmonton, then you see the walk on the boat for $8, come over here to your boat and live in state Edmonton race.
Okay, so earlier you were saying
are not for the air and money.
where you're running the port into. For example, the port of Seattle to the airport makes a lot of money. The port of Seattle both makes a lot of money. That money is then spent on other projects in that port district. Mm-hmm. So you're going to run a base and operating product. But actually, use the mass.
That being
a particle
allowed,
we do that
as a bacteria, then we will use it for an attack prevent.
Well,
they're using it for that, but you say, well, the data center should get a leasehold back. That's one
way what we're doing. Okay. Okay,
but that's. In lieu of the property tax.
Okay.
It'll be included in the bottom line rate.
Any other questions? Yes, you can.
So, thank you. That's very helpful, and I now have an understanding of how this study and that data point will come together. Mm-hmm. But it is a subordinate in an overall model that encompasses the port operation and the port policy. And so there will be at some point in time, just like in the past, transparency as to how that data point translated into the overall port economic model and the decisions that were coming together. That's correct. And with the executive director, who's putting that together?
if this project is done from mid-October, it will be the commissioner's approval of the funds for that.
Okay.
All right. So our PowerPoint presentation will be on our website this afternoon. So if you can encourage any of your friends or fellow Maury people to look at it, to let them know that this is the beginning of the process, not anything to think.
I'd also like to make a comment that I'm pretty certain that we're going to have a lot of questions as we go through this from the commission, and for you to continue to bring your issues to each of us or all of us or however that happens will be really important. I know one of my questions has to do with how are we looking at the overall marina administrative costs. Where does the legal costs get? Are they going to get factored and assumed that those will go on and on in the future as well? We certainly hope not. But I think there are some structural questions that we're going to be asking, and I will welcome, and I assume you will as well, your continuing interest and input, because this is really important.
I'm putting it in an email and sending it to us. Puts it right in front of our faces too, so that when we're doing the final analysis and we're going to the gentleman and saying this is what we want to know, we can be saying, well, Mr. Dengler said this, but can this be included? Can this, you know, so we have those answers.
Yeah.
Friends on the board, let's say the school district, the only people who are related to who are members of the district. In other words, we're living in our district, we're not necessarily from the land that comes out of what we deal with, land, but it's different than the school
district.
And I think we need to have a meeting where you address just the members of the public. And I don't know if it's a reference to part of this within the public district, but we could do an advisory ballot on rates if you wanted to. On one of the general elections for that amount of cost. So if you would support going to market or not. And I think that would be very interesting. I know I would come out, but that would be very interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be negative and it could be more different, but you know, I'm not nervous and clean and clean, so I'm not part of what it is. I think that's a good idea to see it in four districts, but also, how about people that are in the marine have seen it? I may not be part of that discussion because I'm not living in the four districts, and I would like to be part of that discussion.
Thank you. Yes.
I was wondering if it would be appropriate, but is it possible to have a, I think if you have something in here that's not very helpful, it would be so nice to ask people who live, who have votes there, if you just used to have a mass email filled out
on
the form of it, rather than a piece of paper that says that you have to go out of town because
our website is
not aware. And so I think it would be so helpful if we could have a master list. We can do it both opt out and opt out.
Thank you, and Laura, you just started.
Yes, our website is constantly very well updated, which says when all our meetings are and everything that's going on. So it's pretty easy to just. I don't know. Is there any sort of link on?
So I do have a list that I maintain. People have contacted me, and I'm there. So and I email out the agenda and the meeting information. Every time you have one, however, it says before you leave, if anybody wants to come up and give me their email address, then I'd be more than happy to take it. We also have a sign up sheet in the court office so that anyone who comes in can sign up for it so that they get information on meetings and events as well. But as Laura said, the website does have a calendar, it's under the calendar and also under information on meetings. There's two places that you can find a link to the calendar, and that says all of our meetings for the entire year. So, and then I update like any events that are going on a month or two in advance.
Okay.
You can get on our website. And then as far as state law.
Did you have, I know you came in kind of thinking you might have something to, reason to sign up, have you said what you wanted to make sure got covered? No, I was talking to the man behind you. When you expressed that you wished that you could have seen the sign-up sheet when you first came in. Oh, thank you. Do you have another question?
Yeah.
there are certain things that you've done that fit. For example, the breakwater cannot be changed out there because of the fast-passage of sand. It becomes a hazard nuisance to navigation. You can't change the breakwater to withstand the flood. Okay? Where do you make money from? Well, right here in the river. It's not going to be focused on the sun or not.
I would really urge you to continue coming to meetings so you have a chance to express these things. 50 things at once is pretty hard to absorb, but 5 things, I could absorb that every meeting if you came. I'd look forward to it.
In the past, when the meetings were in the court building, I feel that the was the only member of the public there, and it got rather young. It was a joke. And we are from the public. And they look at me.
I'm amazed at some of the people who are
starting to go up. And it's nice to see all the people in there and seeing what's going on. You know, I'm surprised at the number here. You know, this is the first meeting I've been to in quite some time. Because I can get my blood pressure up. You know, and, you know, I have to watch what I say. I have to watch what I do.
We're not scheduled again for 2 more years to do that hydrographic study. So we're waiting to see if there's any silt coming in from the West Kingston Bridge. So it needs time to do that. If nothing's scheduled, that doesn't mean folks can't do that. It's just we'll be scheduled 2 years to do that.
Didn't have the study.
Yeah,
the end of the day, you'll be from OSHA or whatever. You have to get some of the local deals for that again.
I noticed in looking at the budget that the 2017, there's nothing in there for fees coming from TISAP transit, which I would think there would be something in the TISAP steering program. Can you address that?
Jim?
So, TISAP Transit is paying the port $1.6 million up front to prepaid rent. Their rent is $1,800 a month starting in October of this month when they plan to start it. And that money will be credited to them as we move forward. But they're paying $1.6 million up front.
So they pay that up front?
They're paying it. I just billed them $600,000 the other day. We're doing an increment.
So I think it's time to return to the agenda specifically, and we will have opportunity at the end of the meeting for any additional comments and questions. The next item is the wireless replacement project plan and equipment.
So this plays right into Carl's comments on wireless. And, you know, Carl comes in a lot of conversation with us. He's absolutely right. Our Wi-Fi is probably the worst around. We have a new IT company, as you are well aware. We've been doing studies for the last 2 months on what it would take to improve that. Before you use a quote, we've already spent $1,200 on this in phase 1 to test how could this work. This before you right now is the implement program, which is an additional $8,800. We're pretty close to $10,000 to get a system that we feel is going to be robust enough to take support at least through the next 2 or 3 years. You never know what might be support. But Mutu is both, as you know, and the tide rises and lowers, and when the tide rises and lowers, Wi-Fi can't lock into that motion. This particular program puts, I think, 4 antennas on each dock. So the antennas will actually go up and down with the dock, so both will be able to lock into them a lot easier. It's something that's within my spending authority. But I wanted the commission to weigh in on, is this from a policy point of view something you want to do? Because it is an asset that we are providing for people that there's no income for. And I'm a really strong proponent of not charging for Wi-Fi like a lot of lenders do. Because if you do, you are on the phone 24/7 with support. So I just kind of wanted to have a discussion with the commission. Is this something that you want to move forward on? It's an unbudgeted item. We didn't budget for it.
Steve, Laura, do you have any questions?
What's the timeline that they've been, what's something we haven't discussed? Yeah. What timeline do they have?
I was talking to our IT gentleman this morning, and he would like to order these things as soon as you approve it. He can have that in place in the next quarter.
Wow.
They're done all the time.
Pretty quick.
They don't work.
Right.
Well, from a policy perspective, I think it's extremely important that we have Wi-Fi that's not only totally reliable to the extent possible for staff, but for everyone who uses the marina. Not just boaters, but also all of the people sitting at picnic tables when you walk through the parks during the week, or vendors at the farmer's market. It's the modern world.
I've seen that directly on the point of the any of the events, and if any vendor is trying to deal with transactions, they're just unable to hook up always, and that's part of the service I think we could really provide. See, that's very beneficial.
I think what we see is plugs at the market or like using vendors, like you said, and I think now that we've explained that going up and down thing, because we'll get the signal, and then all of a sudden it'll say, it's a lot.
Yeah.
And then 3 minutes later, it will come back on.
Yeah,
and then
right.
It's just very unreliable right now.
And vendors have gone elsewhere because they can't complete transactions.
Yeah, that's true.
It's really important.
Yeah.
On just that one score.
Uh-huh.
So I'm hearing from you the support moving forward on this. Like I said, within my spending authority, I just wanted to have a discussion on this something moving forward. Because we all know the way technology moves, we'll be replacing some of this next year and the year after.
Would you like a, was this fine as a discussion item, or do you think? Okay, great, thank you. So the next item, which is an action item, is adoption of the amended public records policy, which the commissioners have had an opportunity to review and comment on, and those seem to be included here. So what other discussion? Oh, is there a motion to adopt as presented?
I'll make a motion to adopt the public records policy as presented.
I'll second that.
Discussion.
Well, I think staff did a fantastic job, Lacey. Specifically, just did a great job of that research and pulling that all together. That was not easy. But I think it's really going to be a benefit for us here in the future as well to have those policies in place.
Yes.
Absolutely critical.
I
agree. I just did want to tell Mary that I did move or amend it so that if the viewing of public records, if it needs to be somewhere else besides upstairs, then we need to go to home. So I did ask.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's part of a procedure where if anyone needs to review public records, there's a way that, you know, if you have a handicap or a disability of some sort and need accommodation, that the downstairs area is fully ADA compliant, so that you'd be able to get a public record, and there's a protocol for that, so we wanted to make sure that that was in place.
Any call for the question? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Done. The next item is a discussion and possible decision on the name for the new Washington Boulevard Park. Jim?
We have a fabulous grand opening of the park last week, and she wasn't aware of the area, 150-175 people, and the park is a great asset to the community, and it went very well. One of the things in the discussion was what to name the park, and we've come up with a lot of different ideas, but we went back to the original document of how the park became the park, and you might all know there was a local donor that purchased the property and donated it to the park, the port, to make a park in perpetuity for it. That donor, in her bequest, kind of basically said, we would like to acknowledge Kiwanis somehow. My dad was a client all his life and loved it. And, I'd like to call it Kiwanis Park. It's a jewel. And so she left it to the port to make that decision. So we had a number of meetings with the Kitsap Community Foundation, who actually had the park move forward, the project. And we settled on a list of things that Kiwanis would help us with if they were to get have it named after them. And I think we reached an agreement, at least from the staff perspective, not from the commission perspective, that we can deal with that. Basically, Kiwanis will help us with some of the maintenance. We think the Christmas lights at that park would be fabulous, and Kiwanis would agree that they would help us with Christmas lights up there. They built the chairs that I understand some of the concerns about, that there are two big long chairs up there in the park. So they've proven that they want to be partners in this. So what we're recommending to the commission is that the park be called the Port of Kingston Kiwanis Park. And I guess that's it. Glad to hear from anybody in mind, so about that.
Ed, was that a comment? I don't know that everyone could see, but he did a thumbs up. So.
Are there any trash receptacles there for people that are in the park? And they can purchase something for them and drink it as they go in.
There are some
big things for solar power with trash on
them. Yeah, it's a big deli.
And fall under three solar towers, I'm confused with that part. We have the word trash can downtown Kansas. Well, when I have a few moments, I pick up the trash, take in some decisions that they're appropriate, and throw them in the trash can.
So there are three trash cans up there?
No, there's none.
In the park?
None in downtown Kansas.
Downtown Kansas. It's a different matter.
We did receive a list of amenities, everything from dog poo mitts to making sure that we had adequate trash receptacles and information about all of Kingston and some things like that. And we're looking at those amenities as sort of phase two. We wanted to get the park open and in use, and those other things will come. Yeah. So, and did you have anything else to add to that?
Yeah, the pet mitts, the dog poo mitts were, the stations for those were put up right after the event, I think, actually. So, and that was really good. Know that where there's grass and dogs, there's going to be food.
That old path and the water fountain.
Yes. Yeah. We're looking into incorporating that as well. We hope to. And then the other thing related to location in the park that I think is really exciting, and maybe Jim wants to talk about that a little bit more, but there's the old Kingston clock. Do you want to go into that a little bit, Jim?
So most people never even knew there was an old Kingston clock ferry terminal. They had covered it with Washington Department of Transportation logos because of all the complaints, because it was never on time. So we were able to convince Wausau to give us that clock. We have it with a master clock builder right now to rebuild it because the motors are shot. But it will be rebuilt to GPS inside. It will have the exact digital hand from 1923, but it will be run by a clock, a motor controlled by GPS accurate to within a second. The two-sided clock, antique vehicle, antique outer case, and it will be featured in the park. And it's going to be positioned in a great place where you can see it from the park, you can see it when you're driving to the ferry terminal, and if you're in the ferry terminal, you'll be able to see it. So it's going to be a great addition to the park and that area of the community that we can celebrate that historic moment we have.
Yes.
I'm going to comment on the financial on the name, and I'm certainly not anti-government, and I understand the, the provider's desire to include it. So, the Kiwanis, this doesn't really relate to what's relevant to the community. It's kind of a difficult connected up kind of thing, and something that was more relevant to.
Since that annual year before, that would have been relevant and something that had something to do with that. I actually tried to choose that by calling it Kiwanis Centennial Park, but the donor was very good saying it's not Kiwanis Centennial. So I just tried to play with those names because I agree too, continuing to take questions. So, 100 years.
I'm not
sure
I'm going to go on so long.
One of the things that Jim mentioned was that the water is going to be responsible for some of the maintenance. Is that going to be anything in writing? Because the park is a volunteer organization, it's an organization of volunteers, so consistently. I don't see the Kiwanis members coming down on a regular basis to entry up the track up there in the air. And I will see where our staff, our support staff, will be doing that over time. And therefore, it would be a cost to.
The commission has a draft MOU with Kiwanis that will state what they're going to do. You're right, they're not going to go up there every day and empty the trash cans. It's more of when they drive by, they see things out of order, they see garbage, they would help us do that. The biggest thing they would do is help us with cooking stuff, because we are a nice size cooking stuff. And that would be in the MOU, so that would be part of their contribution. But you're right, they're not going to be doing daily maintenance on the park. It will be our staff that will be in charge of maintaining it. We always talk about where money comes from, and when you look at those 4,200 people that don't own boats, 4,300 people that don't own boats, they pay almost $200,000 for the port and taxi.
Mm-hmm.
And that $200,000, what it does is allows them to have this park and come to this park. And if I go through Kingston talking to citizens, not voters, but citizens, they really appreciate the community of the park and how they feel they get their $200,000 back. A lot of ports, you help in the community, they just care less for that. And I'm going to Port Townsend. Port Townsend gets $1 million a year in taxes. 90% of the community doesn't feel any sense at all. But in Houston, there is community, and people take pride in that park when they're in downtown. So from that perspective, I hear you, but I really am in the court of the community.
Do we need to
increase
staff to take care of the
budget? Is that in the budget? That's going to be a good question for Mr. Carter in the back. No, we're going through budgeting right now, and our first look in the budget, we're not planning on additional staff. We don't know yet. Ray is working on that, though.
The big goal of Costco, figures just come up here. I'm a member of the Port District. I look at our mortgage as a money generator for our purchase for the 4,000 people who want to go live there. And I want that mortgage money to pay for amenities that I want in my community with my Port District. And the Port District says, we don't have a city here. Port District is our city.
Yeah.
And so we can pay this and we like it. We let the concert thing. On a Saturday, like market in that area, we want the port to mortgage to be a profit center to give us benefits in this community. And I think if you put that up the rules for the 400 or 4,600 people, it'll be overwhelming. I mean, you're going to need 6% if you put out a 400. So that's why we need to have a conversation with the people from the Port District, because this is what we want. It isn't the people in Hampton, it isn't the people in Edmonton, it isn't the people in Hamburger, in Mexico. It's ours. And that we're strong. We're the highest part. We are a very strong community. We still can build it on $9 million. We're building it. We just go out and get the federal government to work. And so I think there's a huge amount of attachment there. We want to support them on to our
business. Well, years ago, I think it was a good idea to cancel. We don't really have to cancel as a community. But what I'd also say is, of course, the money has to be made. The people that come to the business, if we do that more, all of that, is part of that park culture. And so when you start separating it all apart and say, well, those people over there are the business, we don't want that, and I don't care about this, and I don't care about that, and the problem is, then we lose that. Because when you start thinking about people that the mortgage, the park, I don't need the park, I don't need the park, to maintain the park, I don't want to take help from the mortgage. You're using the same argument that somebody told me to do about the ferry station. You part of the public system.
Yeah.
But if you realize that the public value of your property with all of these wonderful things, there is a community. I'm not saying that as a homeowner and somebody who moves down there, I see things like their fair. But certainly, when you start peeling off groups of people, and you feel more than a community, whether I live on Houston at home, which is why we're more here. We're going to Houston. As a matter of fact, we're going to Houston when we built that building. I know exactly what we're saying about this one. But we start turning out those groups like that, and you still know what you need. Because those of us that come down here every other day or every day on our boats and are in the park and go to the farmer's market and go to the concert and all the other things, we want to hear the news. We don't need a port if you're that line that we'll change something else. But the fact of the matter is that there has to be something that we want to have.
Yeah.
We want to have the port of Paulsville, we want to have the port of Kingston,
we want to have all of that available. And if you start feeling like groups and saying, well, here are those people out here who you don't like them or you don't care about them as much, then you can feel what you're feeling. And I think the book is just trying to realize that. That that's the whole picture, that's what we can experience. We really need to put the whole rest together and look at the whole thing. And with the pattern of the family that, you have one of the best books that go to the rulers in all of them.
Yeah.
The best that's out there. And I know there are problems in every court situation, but for the most part, the facilities are clean, they're well maintained, their parks are beautiful.
I want to say how much I appreciate the thoughtfulness of this conversation. I'm going to go back to our action item here concerning the naming of the new park. Are we ready to take an action on that? Is there any more discussion?
It's the only discussion, yeah. It's
coming in a little way to it. One of the things, I love living in the community, but one of the things that's always surprised me is that the one of the names is that the name of our code, Appleton Code, never seems to make its way into kind of a lexicon. I would encourage you folks to take a look at somehow.
Thank you.
I was just going to mention to me that if the heartfelt, if you will, wish of the particular donor that really is striking to me, that she really was involved in this naming more than any one particular person or group or association, and it's really compelling to me, that we honor her wishes.
She actually we sat in on a meeting with her and with the North Chippewa Foundation for Medina, because she had given him the authority, the North Chippewa Foundation, to name the park. But he deferred to her, and we all sat in and talked, and she took how many weeks? Two weeks thinking about it, trying to decide what she wanted to do. Because of the paperwork, it was our obligation to defer to them for the name. She could make suggestions and give opinions, but yet the final decision was hers. Even Cole left it to her to get what she wanted. And so that's how the name came about. It was never our decision. It was never our decision to make.
I appreciate your comment, though, about future naming.
Yes.
If we have other properties that may have park components, that's an excellent suggestion to incorporate Apple Tree Cove. Apple Tree Cove was spotted, if you will, in Captain Vancouver's review and survey of this whole region. So it's really an historical name that was pointed to this area here. It's still crab apples, but
it was a house.
Maybe. Could be.
Apple Tree Cove House.
Carl?
I think the lights on the visitor here, but it was misnamed. They thought dogwood trees and thought they were apple trees.
There are actually crab apple trees that they believe were historical trees down there. They think, but it's Well, conjecture. Good point.
So is there a motion to confirm the name of the park as...
I move that we confirm the name of the park as the Port of Kingston Kiwanis Park.
I will second that.
Any other discussion?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
We now have a moment to stop, contemplate everything that's been said here today, and ask if there is any other public comment.
I was wondering if you were a lot of God yesterday. I got 5 words, so they can send out a 15 by 10. He said, "This will not have the 2011 sticker."
No. So,
he got right on my book there as well. This gentleman over here with 11 words, he's been on the list for a long time. He got people with stickers 2, 3, 4 years old on the dock. I think it was against the law as a word of continuing that to keep an up-to-date registration and insurance certificate for every boarding house in the property. I think there's a penalty in that law. I don't think that penalty applies to the police commission running super. They do have to ensure that the jury is making sure that all the votes are up-to-date certificates.
Right.
And from my perspective, it isn't only about liability, it is about equity. The same rules have to apply to everybody.
Yeah. That's really
important. Community.
Yeah. Right. Nancy, did you? Anyone else? Okay. We have a moment now for commissioner reports. Steve, Laura.
We have the minutes in here that you and I have small ports down in Brownsville.
Mm-hmm.
This is very informative, all the different, I was writing down the different ports that were there that gave reports. It was really Port of Allen, Port of Manchester, Illinois, Brownsville, Port of Waterman, Silverdale. It's fascinating to see all the different things that are going on in the ports and mm-hmm. the issues that some of them share. And
there are vessels, for one thing,
which yeah.
is quite interesting, and quite a problem.
Yeah, and it's tragedy. Some of them are, I think it was ports of Waterman, that their stairs are failing.
Yeah.
And there's some really hard things. There's the minutes are in the board packet on the site if you wanted to read what the different ports updates were. It's really fascinating, but I think that I would like to continue attending those meetings. This is a really nice, small group. There was maybe 25
mm-hmm.
or so different people there, one to two commissioners from each court, and it was really good.
One thing I have to report is in relation to something that we are looking into as a commission and relating to a little bit better public access for those people that don't really have moorings at the marina but want to enjoy the marina and enjoy being on the water. And that would be for a small boat facility. So we're looking at ideas for that. I had an enlightening boat trip where we were looking at one of the places that we thought might be really good, and then now kind of taking it off the list. So. But we're looking at that, so keep your eyes peeled for concepts for that. One thing I want to mention is that we're going to be looking at updating our comprehensive plan in the port itself, and so we'll be having some additional public meetings. So please keep an eye out for the website, the Port of Kingston website, we'll have additional meetings. We're going to have a lot of public outreach coming up, not even about necessarily the marina study, but other things going on that we want to do here in the future. Our 10-year plan is some ideas to really expand some areas as a thought, really looking at that for the future. So keep your eyes peeled for the website there. I also wondered if you folks wanted to email any of us directly here at the port. We do have, I've bought some cards, but if you want to email anybody directly, I think everyone's email starts with their first name and last initial. So mine is steveh@portofkingston.org. And we're all portofkingston.org. So I wanted to throw that out there, that if you're interested in providing any kind of comment to us or to us as a commission or the staff as well, that we all have that, we'll share that email and comment.
Mine is actually Mary Mack.
Oh, Mary Mack. Okay.
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 Yeah.
Huh? It is there. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I also wanted to report that I've been working with a affordable housing group here in Kingston that's very concerned about how to make stable housing in a rising market, and looking at what other communities are doing regionally as well as in Kitsap. And one of the things we just heard about is that the city of Bainbridge, which runs their arena, is considering and close to adopting an expansion of the number of liveaboards that they are going to support or allow in the code, in their code. So, and one of the things I'll be asking about over the next couple of months is, how many liveaboards do we allow? Are they actually being used? What are the issues there, if any? And just asking that question.
Do they have any idea of how much they're expanding
that? No, that wasn't clear. Yeah.
One more thing I should add too, we just recently, very recently, met with the members of the Suquamish tribe in relation to the commercial use. Somebody had mentioned that earlier. I just wanted to report that we had a very good meeting with them, and they were going to provide a little bit of assistance to us to figure out exactly a rationale, if you will, to figuring out how we can interact better with the tribe when they're doing their sales. And other commercial fishermen as well may also be in the loop on that. But we're trying to get the word out and do some additional signage so that it's clear where the commercial folks need to be interacting with our ramp, and having the recreational users having free access to the inboard, if you will, ramp, and having that as a policy. And they were very receptive, I thought. Jim and I met with the tribal chairman, and had a good, I thought it was a great meeting.
Okay, staff comment. Jim?
This is my last reading. Yeah, I just want to say what an honor it's been to work in the community and work with the commissioner and the town commission. It's a great community, and I hope you all don't forget about community, because that's so important to us. And we all have our different ideas of what we should do, but the thing that makes things special is community. I'm going to miss it.
Yeah. Well, we'll miss you too, yeah. Definitely.
Thank you. Juanita? Lacey?
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to let you know that I told you last meeting that I was applying for the local records grant with the state, with Washington State Archives. And I did submit that on the 27th of July. I had sent it over to an archive specialist to have a review at first, and she replied back that it was an excellent application and that go ahead and add her name and in support on the application. So hopefully we'll find out in October if we get that. Meanwhile, I'm still kind of moving forward with the organization of the records and sending them to archives and things like that. Second, I did want to hand out some things to you guys. So what this is code of conduct. We've actually passed in 2017, March 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to, it wasn't in your packet when we both started, Laura and Steve, and so I wanted to have copies.
Oh, excellent, thank you.
And it's now going to permanently be in the commissioner packet, which we're also working on updating as I go through all the policies. And the second thing is, WAPO, this is, they're calling for tablets, and if you want, if I can remind you what WAPO is, it is Washington Association of Public Records Officers. So I'm a member, the board is a member of that organization, and they're calling for candidates. And I wanted to ask you guys to consider me applying for a position on that board.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of wrote up a little information for you guys on it to look at, and oh, and the deadline is September 6th for me to apply.
Oh, okay.
It require a letter from Jim, so hopefully I can hire you for Jim as well. Yeah, okay. This is not late for them.
Awesome.
Wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Such an important organization for people like Lacey, and the accolades she's gotten for over the last year, what she does and how she does it, could be an excellent business.
Yeah, I think it would be interesting to have a small board on the board, and a
small board
for the
board. Well, honestly, I appreciate the commitment that you brought and that the board has demonstrated to compliance and taking the step beyond the letter, looking at the spirit. For instance, the ability for someone with a disability to actually be able to look at records. And so I think you would make a good contribution that would carry back out to the community. So do we need to take action on that, or basically give direction that we support it?
That's excellent, because it would require some of my time.
Yes,
To go to the meeting. I want to think about it today.
But it does say that you can teleconference if necessary, and it's not 3 weeks of your time every month, it's a day or a half a day.
It's half a day.
So.
Once a month, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. I think at this point, I'm sorry, Juanita, and also Ray.
I don't think I sent this to you, but I did start I still got mostly the extension side. There's two more copies of it. I still have some extension side. There's a bunch of open boxes. Right now, of course, more is up in here. And then the elbow, if you guys have any input, the expensive side is looking pretty good. There's a lot of technical tables still with
not knowing what's going on with employment.
Right.
Of course, I think that's the pension expenses and the payroll taxes and the medical, which is a big one. Can you just look over that and anything you want to
And this has some great comments too, recent reviews that are kind of fantastic. So.
And your record shows our revenues in 2017, but be aware that we didn't start until April.
That's great.
And speaking of transit March, we are already fully booked for later this week.
Oh, wow.
And Ray or Harbor Master, did you have any comment you wanted to make?
A couple of things. Thank you, everybody, for still having this call. It's a great time. Thank you, Jim,
We're so busy right now. It's so fun. We have so many people on IDF upcoming. And I mean, it's just off the charts. I mean, people are trying to get in there. We're asking for it. We're having to burn down. But they're coming up and spending all their money in town, helping our community out there.
Yeah.
I got to tell you guys, Monday through Friday, it is just crazy. Weekends are crazy. Colleen and I reached out to a van for the 1st of September on Labor Day weekend, so we have something to do. So the constantly closed during the end of August that we got the tropics coming back to play play on a Saturday night. So after our wonderful farmers market, we're gonna have a nice number of reach out to carry a free put on the reader board that will support the community and all the voters that want to come in, this is what that band is all about. So please bear with us all. We're moving forward. I have great staff, I want to thank my staff.
my God, they've been off the charts all day. Community support is all about. So thank you, everybody. Please continue to support us all. And if you have any questions for me, I'm approachable. And I'll listen. But thanks, Jim, for doing what you did here. And we have three wonderful teachers, and they're approachable too. So please do that to your benefit. So thanks, everybody.
Good job.
Thank you. Can I ask all of us to stand and give Jim a hand?
Yeah. All right. We're going to miss you, Jim.
And with that, we will recess to executive session. Not surprisingly, we have some personnel issues to work through here.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was supposed to say for how long.
Yeah.
Okay, so we will be half an hour with the executive session. All right, so I don't think we're going to need
that. Nice to see you again. Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Hey, Bonita.
Yeah, so I don't think we need to hold you here. That is a really good meeting, and I think probably everybody's reporting that.